हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहना भवतो सह नौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. दिस् टैम् ऐ थाट् ऐ वुड् डू दिस् ईशावास्य उपनिषत्. This Ishavasya Upanishad belongs to Shukla Yajurveda. Shukla Yajurvediya Upanishad. And this Upanishad is a mantra Upanishad. We have Upanishads called Mantra Upanishads and Brahmana Upanishads. Always a mantra Upanishad is something which presents the teaching briefly, and a Brahmana Upanishad becomes the elaboration and a commentary on the Mantra Upanishad. For example, Mundaka Upanishad is a Mantra Upanishad, and Prashna Upanishad is a Brahmana Upanishad. Which means a Prashnopanishad becomes a commentary on the Mundakopanishad. Similarly, here Ishavasya Upanishad is a Mantra Upanishad, and Brihadaranyakam is a Brahmana Upanishad, which is a commentary on elaboration of this Mantra Upanishad Ishavasya. That is why Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is quite big Upanishad. Swamiji used to tell, you can quote, for anything you can say something quote, you can say it's from Brihadaranyaka, because for everything there is some reference available. So Brihadaranyaka is a Brahmana Upanishad, which is a commentary on Ishavasya Upanishad. And like how this Kena Upanishad is named after the first word of the Upanishad, Kena, here also Ishavasya Upanishad begins with the statement Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam. This Upanishad also is named after the first sentence of the Upanishad. Anyway, we'll see everything in detail later on. Before we enter into the very study of the Upanishad, this much details I want to enter start from the beginning. For Shukla Yajurveda, we have the Shanti Mantra, like how any Upanishad study must be begun with the Shanti Mantra. Here also we have a Shanti Mantra, Shanti Pathaha for Shukla Yajurveda Upanishad. This is the mantra here is Purnamadaha. So let us chant once Purnamadaha. And Purnamadaha, the all the swaras, now we have only Anudata and Udata, no Swarita at all. For example, when you do Yajurvedya, Krishna Yajurvediya Shanti Pataha Sahana Bhavatu. We have all these swaras like Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu. All the three. Sah Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Vishavahai Dirghaswarita. All the swaras are here. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Even in Shanti we have Shanti Shanti Shanti. This Udatta, Anudatta, Swarita, all the swaras are here. First in Purnamadaha, Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Other Upanishads. Other Shanti Mantra. Whereas for Shukla Yajurveda, Shanti. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. The swara changes. Hope you don't notice it. Shanti Shanti Shanti. There is no swarita at all. This is the difference which we chant in every day as we chant, we'll get it correctly. Okay? Say after me once, then I'll start the class. Om Purnamadav 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 Purnamidam
Purnamidam
Purnamadav Purnamidam
Purnamadav Purnamidam
Purnat
Purnamudachyate
Purnamudachyate Purnamudachyate
Purnamudachyate
Purnasya
Purnasya
Purnamadaya
Purnamadaya
Purnamevavasishyate
Purnamevavasishyate
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Om Hari Om Tat Sat.
Om Hari Om Tat Sat.
Shri Gurubhyo Namaha.
Shri Gurubhyo Namaha.
Hari Om.
Hari Om.
So here, if we see the meaning of the word Upanishad, the word Upanishad itself implies two functions. Upani indicates a given function. Sat indicates another function. Two functions. Upani, upa is a prefix which means near. So ni stands for the verb nayati. Nayanam means carrying, leading. So, Upani implies taking near, leading near. So this takes near. So who is taken near whom? It is involved in the function of taking the Jivatma near the Paramatma. Atmanam Jivatmanam Paramatmanam Prati Upanayati. It takes the Jivatma to Paramatma. It brings Jivatma and Paramatma together. So, it brings the individual self and the absolute self together. And here, brings near means, does it physically take the Jivatma near the Paramatma? When there is no distance at all between Jivatma and Paramatma, absolutely Jivatma and Paramatma, there is no, not even difference as Jivatma and Paramatma, there is only Atma, then how can Jivatma be taken near the Paramatma? How can it bring Jivatma and Paramatma together? Here the distance between Jivatma and Paramatma happens to be caused by ignorance. You know, that removal of ignorance is in fact bringing the Jivatma close to the Paramatma. That's why we say, you would have heard this, the root dha, you know. Dha means dhanam, dadhati, not dadati, dadhati. Dhanam. See, dhanam, adhanam, vidhanam, nidhanam, avadhanam, viavadhanam. We have different nouns you can form. Like avadhana means attention, no focus. And vi avadhanam means distance. So vyavahitam means what? Distanced. Jivatma is as though distanced from Paramatma. And this vyavadhanam, this distance between Jivatma and Paramatma, is caused by ajnanam, avidya. So ignorance caused distance between Jivatma and Paramatma has to be removed only by ajnanam, knowledge. Therefore, upanayati, so how does it take the Jivatma near Paramatma? By removing the distance between Jivatma and Paramatma through the removal of ignorance. Therefore, the next word is sad. Sad implies, sat stands for sad, and sad means avasadayati. Avasadayati means destroys. So that which destroys the ignorance. So by destroying the ignorance, so destruction of ignorance is the function number two. Function, in fact, we take function number one. Destruction of ignorance is function number one. And the second function is what? Takes the Jivatma near Paramatma. So that which brings Jivatma and Paramatma together, by removing the distance between them caused by ignorance, through the removal of ignorance, is called Upanishad. Isn't it? Upanishad. This is the meaning of the word Upanishad. We can give different meanings. So Upani stands for the function of bringing the Jivatma near Paramatma. And Sad stands for the function of destruction. So Upanishad. So here we say this Upanishad we study. Any Upanishad we study with the help of the teacher. And the teacher is said to be the Sadguruhu. And Sadguruhu, when you say, in this context, I want to take you to another verse to understand. We will continue Ishavasya Upanishad tomorrow morning. In this context, I wanted to understand. When you say Sadguruhu, who is the Guruhu? Guruhu is the one who removes the darkness of ignorance, dispels the darkness of ignorance. The letter Gu stands for Andhakaraha. Gukaraha, Gukaras Tvandakaraha, darkness. Ru stands for Tannivartakaha, the one who dispels. The word Guruhu itself means the one who dispels the darkness of ignorance. So Guruhu, who is the Guruhu here? Who is the teacher here? Very in-depth. In fact, the Guruhu is none other than Bhagavan. The actual Guruhu is none other than Bhagavan himself. Which means you have to see Bhagavan being manifest in every teacher. Bhagavan is not the Guru, but every teacher who speaks is what? The one who speaks, the speaker is none other than Bhagavan. The speaker in everyone is Bhagavan only. The doer in everyone is Bhagavan. The enjoyer in everyone is Bhagavan. Not only in the teacher, isn't it? The speaker, the doer, the enjoyer, the seer, the hearer, the smeller, in everyone is Bhagavan. Not only the teacher. Suppose everyone, the doer, enjoyer, seer, hearer, in everyone is Bhagavan. What about the speaker, the teacher in the so-called teacher? Is Bhagavan himself. That's why here we say, when we chant this verse, Brahmanandam paramasukhadam kevalam jnanamurtyam dvandvatitam gaganasadrusham tattvamasyadilakshyam ekam nityam vimalamachalam sarvadhi sakshibhutam bhavatitam trigunarahitam sadgurum tam namami. When you say that verse, no, namami, I bow to. Namami means I bow. I bow to the Guruhu, who is Sadguruhu. There Sadeva Guruhu, Sadguruhu. Sataha Guruhu, Sadguru. The one who dispels the darkness of ignorance of reality. Sadguruhu, the one. Here the Guru is another than the reality itself. Even the reality is not the Guruhu, Paramatma is not the Guruhu, but there is no Guru other than Paramatma. Sadeva Guruhu, Sadguruhu. And who is that Guru here? Sad is the Guruhu, means who is the Guru here? So it says, Brahman, what is that Sat? Param Brahma, there is no Guru. We do. Param Brahma is not the Guruhu, not anything. But there is no Guru other than Param Brahma, Paramatma. There is no teacher other than the reality. There is no teacher other than Bhagavan. Therefore, we say here, Brahmanandam. This Guruhu, who is none other than Brahma. And that Brahman, what is that Brahman? The limitless reality. There is nothing which is bigger than the reality, greater than the reality. The Guru is the reality. The Guru, Sat, nothing greater or bigger than the reality. That's why it's Brahma. Brahma means something which is bigger, greater than the reality. That is Brahma. So we say Brahman itself, the word Brahma itself implies what? The reality which is incomparably, limitlessly big. That reality, Paramatma, that Brahma, the teacher is Guru, another than that Brahma, who is limitlessly, incomparably, limitlessly big. And who is of the nature of fullness, happiness, anandaha. So, Brahmanandam Sadgurum Namami. So, I bow to the teacher whose truth is none other than Brahma Paramatma, and who is of the nature of happiness. When you say who is of the nature of happiness, fullness, means that Brahman, the limitless reality, who is incomparably, limitlessly big, means the very word already I have explained to you many times when I came previously. The reality is limitlessly big means time-wise limitless, spatially limitless, object-wise limitless. There is no time when the reality is not, there is no space which is not pervaded by reality, where reality is not. There is no object which is not pervaded by, which is not the reality here. So, every object indicated by any name and form is nothing but reality. Like how blindly closing your eyes you can say every wave is nothing but water, how you can say. So, also here you can say if you have the vision, there is no object. Known or unknown, there is no object in this universe which is not the reality. Every object, every small or big, known or unknown, visible or invisible, everything here is that Brahman. Everything is reality. Therefore, the reality is object-wise limitless. There is nothing which is not the reality, Brahman. Therefore, everything is Brahman. Object-wise limitless. There is no time when the reality is not. There is no space, there is no place which is not pervaded by the reality. Therefore, reality is limitlessly, incomparably big means is time-wise, spatially, object-wise, limitless reality. That is reality, Brahma. And that reality is of the nature of happiness, fullness. Now, you have heard before telling the reality is nothing but consciousness. Chaitanyam Brahma. That consciousness, implied by the term Brahman, is the only reality. Why? Because that alone is the vastu reality. That alone is the absolute reality. Everything else other than consciousness is only relative. Even time factor is relative. Space is also what? An object of knowledge. So anything which is an object of knowledge is relative. The only one vastu which is not an object of knowledge is the absolute. If you ask what is that which is not an object of knowledge, if you ask, the subject alone, subject of knowledge alone can never be the object of knowledge. The knower, the subject of knowledge alone, will ever be the subject of knowledge, will never become the object of knowledge. You have to remember this very subtle fact. The knower, the subject of knowledge, will ever remain the subject of knowledge, will never become the known, the object of knowledge. Karta kadapi karma nabhavati. Jnata kadapi jnatam jnataha nabhavati. The subject of knowledge never becomes the object of knowledge. Knower will never become the object of knowledge, the known. Like what? When I say illuminator of this opaque things is light, the illuminator light, light, the illuminator is the light, and the illuminator is the subject of illumination. The opaque things are the illumined. The opaque things are ever the illumined. Never does any opaque become the illuminator of the light. Why? The opaque thing itself ever being dependent on the illuminator to become the illumined. How can the opaque become the illuminator of the light? Never. Opaque will ever be the illumined, object of illumination. It is dependent to become the illumined. Whereas light, the illuminator, never becomes the illumined. The light will ever be the illuminator with reference to opaque things. The standpoint of the opaque things, isn't it? You have to remember this. Light can never become the illumined by the opaque. With the opaque can never become the illuminator of the light. Similarly, here the whole jagat, the entire universe, including your body, mind, sense complex, we can say, which is inclusive of your body, mind, sense complex, ever comes under the category of the known. Jagat means the known. This, you know, anything which comes under the category of the known is what? The jagat. And everything and anything else except the knower, everything else is what? The known. Therefore, the knower never becomes the known. Okay, the known jagat, the universe, the cosmos, inclusive of your body, mind, sense complex, which comes under the category of the known, will ever be the known. Never will it become the knower. Remember the example of light and opaque things. The jagat will ever be the known. Understand? The knower will ever be the knower. Knower will never become the known. And you ask, who is this knower? Therefore, the known is dependent on the knower to become the known. To become the known, thereby to enjoy the status of being existent also, this universe is dependent on the knower. Therefore, who this knower is? Who is this knower? Who is this knower? If you ask, there is no knower other than Paramatma. You can never say Paramatma is the knower. Okay? But still, there is no knower other than Paramatma. The only knower obtaining in every mind is one and the same only Paramatma. The knower is Paramatma. Therefore, knower never becomes an object of knowledge. Known never becomes the subject of knowledge. Now we say, what about time? Take the time factor. Now the whole Jagat we talk about. This Jagat exists within the realm of time and space. Deshaha Kalaha. Therefore the entire cosmos, the Vishwam, exists within the realm of time and space. Therefore, the Jagat is what we say, everything in this universe subject to time limitation, choicelessly, inevitably, unavoidably, everything is subject to time limitation, everything is subject to spatial limitation, everything is subject to object limitation. Okay, and this Jagat, which is comes under the category of the known, everything here is what? Subject to all threefold limitations. Therefore, time and space. Now the question comes, okay, the whole Jagat, we understand everything in this universe which exists within the realm of time and space subject to all three limitations. What about the very time factor? It took very long for the scientists to say time is relative. Our Shastras made very clear, time is relative. Why? Because time itself has time limitation. Time has time limitation. There is a time when there is no time. So the time is an object of knowledge. Because time being there is known. Time being not there also is known, which means time is an object of knowledge. So no object of knowledge has independent existence outside of the knower. Therefore, time has time limitations. And being an object, time itself being an object of knowledge, time is also what? Dependent on the knower. Therefore, the knower status has time limitation. Okay? The one who obtains as the knower is free from time limitation. Be very careful, okay? The knower status has time limitation. But the one who obtains as the knower is free from time limitation. Timeless reality. That's why I told the reality, Paramatma is not the knower. But there is no knower other than Paramatma itself. So what about the space? Space also is an object of knowledge. Space is an object of knowledge. Therefore, once anything which comes under the category of the known has no independent existence, doesn't exist outside of the knower. Independent of the knower. Therefore, the knower happens to be none other than Paramatma, the consciousness. Okay, consciousness is free from time limitation, free from spatial limitation, free from object limitation. Then we say, Desha Kala Vastu Aparichinnam Chaitanyam. So, Desha Parichedaha Nasti, Kala Parichedaha Nasti, Vastu Parichedaha Nasti are Sanskrit terms for limitation. It's free from all three possible limitations. That is why this reality is implied in terms of its Swarupam, by the word Brahma. So, Brahmanandam Sadgurum Namami, I bow to the teacher whose Swarupam is the limitless reality which is of the nature of fullness, happiness. And that reality does not need to do anything to fill everything, to be full of everything, to pervade everything. By its nature, it's all pervasive. Like how light pervades to opaque, doesn't need to make any effort to pervade. Like water in the ocean need not make any effort to pervade the entire ocean. Being full is its very nature. So the reality here need not make any effort to fill the, to pervade everything. The reality is of the nature of fullness. So Brahmanandam. So I bow to the teacher whose Swarupam is another than Paramatma, who is Paramatma, the limitless reality, who is of the nature of fullness. Brahmanandam Paramasukhadam. So Paramasukham. Sukham means, you know, the temporary time-bound pleasure also is called a sukham. Eternal, everlasting happiness also is called a sukham. Any sukham, the source of pleasure is Paramatma, the consciousness. The source of, you know, happiness is also Paramatma. There is no source of any pleasure or any joy, any happiness other than Paramatma. Which means, now you have to understand, so Paramasukhadaha. Paramasukha means moksha sukham. Parama means absolute happiness, in which you can, you know, we can have this absolute peace. Sukhadaha means the bestower of absolute happiness is Paramatma. There's nothing in the world will give you permanent happiness. It is the Paramatma, it is the reality. How does it give? Not, it does not give. It is of the nature of happiness, fullness. Therefore, that which is the source of happiness alone can be the bestower of happiness. The borrower of happiness cannot give you the happiness. Isn't it? The one who is of the nature of happiness alone, the source of happiness alone can give you happiness. Therefore, Paramasukhadaha, the one who is of the nature of fullness, happiness, therefore one who is the only bestower of absolute happiness is Paramasukhadaha. Here the question may come, what about pleasure? You know, we have reduced everything as what? Knower and the known. The whole Jagat, nothing in this Jagat is a source of pleasure. No pleasure, no joy, no degree of sukham or no happiness is available in this world. The only source of sukham is yourself, your Paramatma. But what do we think? Why do we call this world, the objects, as the object of pleasure? Anything which is looked upon as an object of pleasure, in fact, is an object of enjoyment, which serves as an instrument of what? Pleasure. Really speaking, the no object of enjoyment, no bhogya vishaya, no object of enjoyment. The whole Jagat is object of enjoyment. Nothing in this world, no object of enjoyment is a source of pleasure, time-bound pleasure. Then therefore it is not, nor is it a source of everlasting happiness also. Even time-bound pleasure also is not from the object. Timeless, everlasting happiness also is not from, definitely not from the object. So that which is the source of everlasting happiness is in fact the source of time-bound pleasure also. How do we say that? Because the manifestation of fullness is happiness. And fullness is the nature of reality. fullness manifest is happiness. The manifestation of fraction of fullness is pleasure. This is the difference. Fullness manifest is happiness. Fraction of fullness manifest is pleasure. Your pleasure is what? Time bound. Is it clear? Therefore, can I say that any object of enjoyment, every object of enjoyment serves a triggering instrument. It only serves as a manifesting medium, isn't it? It helps you for the fraction of fullness to manifest. So you mistake that for a source of pleasure. Really speaking, not even a source of time-bound pleasure. Nothing. How can an object be a source of limitless happiness? Definitely not. The only source of happiness is Atma, Paramatma. Paramasukhadam. So here, Sadgurum Tam Namami, I bow to the teacher whose swarupam is limitless reality, which is of the nature of fullness, happiness, and the only bestower of everlasting happiness. The only source of happiness. Brahmanandam paramasukhadam kevalam jnanamurtim. So what is the form of this swarupam of the teacher? What is the form? Any teacher who speaks has a form, size, weight, height. But really, what is the truth, swarupam of any teacher? What is swarupam? Formless. If formless means, what is the form? In what form does this swarupam of the teacher obtain? Swarupam of the teacher obtain in the form of knowledge. Jnana Murtihi, there's no form. Formlessness is the form. If at all talk about some, in which form does the swarupam obtain the form of the knowledge, pure knowledge. Jnana Murtihi, so you say consciousness. Jnanameva Murtihi, knowledge is the form of the swarupam of the teacher. There's no other form. Which means knowledge has no form. Jnana Murti. Brahmanandam paramasukhadam kevalam jnana murtim dvandvatitam dvandva atitaha. Dvandvaha, you know, all his patches of opposites. The Sadguru, the Guru whose swarupam is free from, even everyone's swarupam is free from all pairs of opposites. But here you see the teacher as, the actual teacher is not Bhagavan only. The speaker in everyone is Bhagavan, I said. So here also, who is this teacher when you say Paramasukhadam? Jnana Murtim Dvandva Atitam. The one whose swarupam is as consciousness is free from all dvandvas. Consciousness, Paramatma, the consciousness has no dvandva. Neither sukham nor dukkham. Neither pain nor pleasure, neither loss, gain, nothing is there. It's like you can't say light has mic. Can you say light has mic? Light, between light and mic, there is no possessor-possessed connection. You can't say light has the mic. Isn't it? You can say maximum what? The mic exists in the light. The mic has no existence outside of light. Therefore, mic is what? No, manifestation of the light. Appearance of the light. What you can say? Here also, the pain, pleasure, loss, gain, defeat, victory, honor, dishonor, all these pairs of opposites, where do they exist? Where are they? Where is pain? On a head or thigh or where is the pain? Where is the pleasure? Where is loss? Where is gain? Where is honor? Where is dishonor? Where is defeat? Where is victory? Where is it? It's all in the thoughts, isn't it? It's all in the mind, thoughts. Understand? Therefore, thought, the form of, they all form of thoughts only. Therefore, we say here, this light, you can't say, just you cannot say, light has the mic, light has an opaque, you can't say. Similarly here, consciousness does not have all these parts of opposites. It's free from. Light is untouched, untainted by all the opaque things which exist in light. Similarly, consciousness, you know, where all these thoughts exist, have their existence, is not touched, tainted by all these parts of opposites, not bound by parts of opposites, free from the parts of opposites. So, dvandva atitaha. So, brahmanandaha, paramasukhadaha, kevalam jnanamurtihi, dvandva atitaha. Dvandvatitam gagana sadrusham. Gagana sadrushaha. Gaganam means space. Sadrusha means similar. Gagana sadrushaha means what? If at all you have to understand something, it's all pervasive. There's nothing as all pervasive as space, isn't it? So space is incomparable to anything else in the world because space is all pervasive. And here, if at all there is no consciousness, is as all pervasive as the space. In fact, consciousness is more pervasive. Even the space is accommodated in consciousness. In all pervasive, space is accommodated, pervaded by consciousness. Space does not pervade consciousness. Space pervades everything else. The one thing which space does not pervade is consciousness. Because space is pervaded by consciousness. What pervades the space is consciousness. That's why we say, Akashaha avakasha pradatru. Avakasha pradata. The space is all accommodative. And that which accommodates the all accommodative space is consciousness. That's why we say gagana sadrushaha. Dvandvatitam gagana sadrusham. And that Paramatma, you know, whose Swarupam of the teacher, Hadguru is what now? He said, Tattvamasyadilakshyam. And that Paramatma is what? Actually, the Paramatma Swarupam is something to be ultimately attained in terms of knowledge through the analysis of Mahavakyam such as Tattvamasi. We have these Mahavakyams, the great Vedic declarations like Tattvamasi, etc. Each Mahavakyam which reveals the identity between Jivatma and Paramatma, when you analyze, by analyzing those Mahavakyams, what is that you have to arrive at finally? You have to arrive at the non-duality of the reality. You have to arrive at the oneness of reality. Isn't it? Therefore he says, this Hadguru whose Swarupam is now limitless, the reality, the consciousness, which is of the nature of happiness, we have understood all those words now. That reality, the oneness of that reality, the non-duality of the reality, is what has to be finally arrived at through the analysis of the Mahavakyams, such as Tattvam Asi. So, Tattvam Asi Adi Lakshyam. Adi means etc. Okay, so many Mahavakyams. and Tattvamasi is one of the Mahavakyams. So he says, what is that which has to be finally arrived at in terms of knowledge is the reality. And that absolute reality, the Chaitanyam, which is non-dual reality, which is only reality, which is the swarupam of the teacher. So it is said, Tattvamasyadi Lakshyam Yekam. And such, this teacher's swarupam, Sadguru's swarupam. Who is Sadguru here? Who swarupam is? Paramatma, none other than Paramatma. There is no teacher other than Paramatma. There is no speaker other than Paramatma. You have to remember this. There is no giver, doer, enjoyer other than Paramatma. And here, therefore, we say the teacher is another than Paramatma. So he says what now? Ekam. Ekaha means one. How many realities are there? Only Paramatma. We don't say one Paramatma, it's only Paramatma is there. Only Vastu reality is only reality. Therefore, Ekam, the who Swarup means the reality which is the only reality, then secondless reality, Ekam, and which is timeless. Already we have seen how it is timeless. The reality consciousness is timeless. We already understood, again it's a word which emphasizes, states that fact of the reality being timeless. Saying Nityam, Ekam, Nityam, Nityaha. Nityaha, Swarup means Nityaha. Nitya means eternal, timeless. When you talk about timelessness, what does it imply? It has no beginning. No beginning, how do you say? It has no cause. Uncaused is no cause. Therefore, it is the beginningless. Beginningless, therefore it is endless. It is independent, it is changeless. Ekam Nityam. Whenever you talk about timelessness, you have to think of beginninglessness. Beginninglessness implies causelessness. There is no cause. The cause means it's a beginning, isn't it? No cause. Therefore, causeless, beginningless, changeless, endless. Therefore, independent. Isn't it? And Ekam Nityam, it is free from all so-called impurities, blemishes and punya papas. We always talk about impurities. Impurity means, what is impurity? What do you mean by impurities? Mala means impurity. What is impurity? Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Madha, Matsarya. Anything which disturbs your reasons is impurity, really speaking. Malam. Which is a disease is a malam. So this Kama, Krodha, the anger, desire, passion, aversion, jealousy, hatred, all of them which disturb your reasons, they are the malam, they are the impurities. There's no other impurities. And do all these impurities are there, again, like how consciousness is free from dvandvas. I explained to you how we cannot say light, between light and opaque, there's no possessor-possessed connections. Similarly, between consciousness, the reality, and all these impurities, there's no possessor-possessed connection. Therefore, this Parama, the teacher, the Sadguru, whose Swarupam, Guru's Swarupam is nothing but consciousness, the reality, which is free from all impurities, all blemishes, all punya papas. No punyam, no papam, no dukkham, nothing. Name punya pape, name shoka mohe. Is it? There's no shoka, moha, nothing. It's free from everything. The reality is free from everything. Therefore, here you say, vimalam, achalam. Achalam also. Achalam means immovable. Why it is immovable? Because it's all pervasive. It's unmoving. It is of this thanuhu. It is of the nature of, it is all pervasive, spatially limitless, it is all pervasive, it accommodates even space, therefore it cannot move from one place to another place, it is unmoving. Not only unmoving, there is no second reality other than consciousness. No, there is no second thing other than consciousness. Therefore, nothing which can, it can move this from one place to another place also, isn't it? Now, all pervasive reality is what? Unmoving, immovable. Ekam, nityam, vimalam, achalam. That reality, this is the only reality, secondless reality, all pervasive reality, therefore unmoving reality, therefore immovable reality, which is free from all blemishes and all everything, in which everything has its existence, isn't it? Comes and goes. So the coming, everything else comes under the category of the Jagat means. Jagat, that which comes and goes is Jagat. Jayate gachati iti Jagat. This Jagat keeps on coming and going. Everything known comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and goes where? In non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting reality consciousness. This Jagat keeps coming and going. Isn't this for? Ekam nityam vimalam achalam. But that reality, where is it available for recognition? Sarvadhi sakshi bhutam. Sarvadhi sakshi bhutam. That reality obtains as the witness, the only witness, you know, in all the minds. Sarvadhi, dhi means mind here. Sakshi bhutam, that which obtains as the only witness of all the minds. Sarvadhi sakshi bhutam. Consciousness is not the witness, but there is no witness other than consciousness. Sarvadhi sakshi bhutam. Ekam nityam vimalam achalam. Sarvadhi sakshi bhutam bhava atitam. Bhava atitam. Bhava means thoughts. All forms of thoughts. You know, atitam. So consciousness is free from all thoughts, all forms of thoughts, including ahankara. Manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankara, all forms of thoughts. The entire mind, free from mind, inseparable from mind, but free from mind, inseparable from thoughts, but free from thoughts. Bhavatitam trigunarahitam. Again, free from trigunas. Trigunas. What are trigunas? Trigunas are names given to the manifestations of three powers. Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Dravya Shakti. The power of knowing, the power of activity, the power of inertia. The three powers manifest are given three different names. As what? Sattva Gunaha, Rajo Gunaha, Tamo Gunaha. All the powers, you know, each power is Paramatma, but Paramatma is free from all the powers. Can you say that the burning power or burning power, the fire has burning power? Can you say that? No. There again, there's no, even though for want of expression we can say power, the fire has burning power. Really speaking, has means, then you can say what? The fire and the burning power do not have possessor-possessed connection. If we say fire has burning power, the sentence may sound correct. Really speaking, it is not possessed. The burning power is not possessed by the fire. Why? Because it's not separable. Any possessed can be separable. Any possessed is separable from the possessor. isn't it? Like here, when you say the light has illumining power, whenever you use this has, that becomes a possessor-possessed connection. Can you say, can you separate the illumining power from the light? No. Inseparable. The separable, something separable, we can say, if a person has something, if it is separable, then you can say possessor-possessed connection is there. But here, the light has illumining power, fire has burning power, means these are all, there is no possessor-possessed connection. Inseparable, isn't it? Therefore, the burning power is fire. The illumining power is light. But at the same time, light is free from burning power, illumining power. Understand? Not dependent, that's what I'm saying. So here also, all these three powers are Atma, Paramatma. But Paramatma, consciousness is free from these three powers. In fact, it's devoid of these three powers, you can say. Devoid means what? There's no possessor-possessed connection. That's what devoid. Trigunarahitam Sadgurum Tam Namami. So I bow to the teacher whose Swarupam is another than Sat, the reality, and which is of the nature of, you know, every word what now implies nature of reality. That is the Guru actually speaking. Just you can understand one more thing. I want to make two things clear here. See, when you say this, the Guru means here, how is the one who dispels the darkness of ignorance is Guruhu? How does the teacher remove the darkness of ignorance? Only through communication. Communication, isn't it? So so the Guru has to communicate. Mauni Baba Swamiji always says this. You can bow to any Mahatma, you know, for inspiration. Any Mahatma can have any Shakti because they are tapasvis. So for all the tapas they have, tapas Shakti they have, you can bow to them, you can, you know, for their blessings, and you can really, for inspiration you can bow to them, for blessings you can bow to them, but for teaching you always go to the person who speaks. Because it's very important. So here, when you say the one who dispels the darkness of ignorance is Guru, who means, what is communication? It need not be teaching. Even any communication of that matter is nothing but what? Expression of, you know, thoughts. So in what form does knowledge exist? We are going to see the meaning of the word actually. That's why I started here today. I wanted to explain the meaning of the word Upanishad. To go there, I have gone somewhere else. Okay? I just didn't mind doing it. Because there's anyway, best thing is to talk about Bhagavan as Guru today. This I wanted to do it. What is communication? So communication is nothing but expression of one's thoughts. So thoughts means here the teacher has to dispel the darkness of ignorance in the mind of a student, for which he has to communicate. So in communication is what now? Communication means a transference of the knowledge from the teacher's head to the student's head. There ignorance is sitting, and knowledge has to travel from has to be transferred from the teacher's head to the student's head, which being transferred, will help the ignorance resolve. Will make the ignorance resolve. So in what form does the knowledge obtain? The knowledge of anything in the world, is aparavidya also, knowledge of the reality or knowledge of anything in the world, is in the form of a thought only. Knowledge is in the form of a thought. Knowledge is in the form of a thought. So knowledge has to, if the knowledge obtaining in him of a thought, in order to reach the student's mind, it has to, you know, travel through, only through communication. Communication means what here again? The only through the vehicle of words, the knowledge obtaining in him of a thought has to reach the other person's mind. So when the teacher speaks, expresses his knowledge through the words, and the words again properly handled Shastra's words, properly unfolded, when these words reach through the ears of the student, reach the mind of the student, again these words become what? Knowledge in the form of thoughts. Understand? Knowledge in one's mind, is it communicated through words, travel through words, reach the other person's mind through the ears, again remain in the form of thoughts. Understand? That is why knowledge is always is in the form of thoughts only. And through communication, it goes to other person's mind through the other person's ears. Again becomes, remains in the form of a thought. Again, as it communicates, again it goes like what? So knowledge remains always is in the form of thought, always travels only through words, through communication. Again, continues to remain in the form of thoughts only. Is it clear? So where do the thoughts exist? Thoughts do not exist independent of, outside of consciousness. Therefore, there is no knowledge which exists outside of consciousness. Understand? Therefore, we say knowledge is what? In fact, the knowledge. There can't be knowledge without the knower. No knowledge exists outside of, independent of the knower. Knower, knowledge, known, isn't it? Even knowledge of anything for that matter, whether it's a worldly knowledge or spiritual knowledge, knowledge of the reality or knowledge of the world, any knowledge, paravidya or aparavidya, no knowledge exists outside of the knower. There must be illuminator, and there is illumination, there is illumined. There cannot be knowledge without the knower, isn't it? Therefore, there can't be knowledge without the knower. And who is the knower here? There is no knower other than consciousness, Brahma. There is no knower other than consciousness. Therefore, who is the ultimate knower? Who is the ultimate knower, ultimate speaker, ultimate hearer, ultimate... You see? Okay. The person, only person, the only person of first person, second person, third person, singular, dual, plural, all the, is what? Only person is the reality, Paramatma. As we say here, in fact here, there's only knowledge also is what now is not created. There's only manifestation. The only manifestation of knowledge. is a creation of knowledge. Therefore, absolute teacher is, ultimate teacher is Bhagavan himself. So, Sadguru, Tam Namami. In fact, we know everyone, the Paraspara Namaskara itself to each other is because we invoke, we see the Bhagavan obtaining other person, about other person. We namaste to each other. Paraspara Namaskara is because I see Bhagavan in you, in your form. You see Bhagavan in my form. So we bow to each other. Really speaking, there's nothing, not only the Guru, every speaker is Bhagavan. So what to talk about this, the one who teaches the Shastra, whose Swarupam also, everyone's Swarupam is, every individual Swarupam is Paramatma only. That is the meaning of this verse. What I want to say here, the knowledge is not created. Knowledge is already there. It has to only manifest. It's not created. In the knowledge manifests, the ignorance resolves. In manifestation of knowledge, ignorance resolves. The ignorance, resolution of ignorance is in manifestation of knowledge. Any knowledge, whether it is knowledge of the world, knowledge of any object, knowledge of the reality, so knowledge is always manifestation of the pure knowledge, what is already there. There is no creation of knowledge. So the teaching only contributes for the triggering of, rising of appropriate vrittis in the mind. I'll tell you what it is. When you talk, for example, when I say knowledge or cognition or understanding, use all these words, understanding, knowledge, cognition. What is this knowledge? What is cognition? What is understanding? Whenever we say, I know something, I know this, there you mean there is knowledge. Knowledge involves two aspects. The two factors are involved in knowledge, or cognition. It's like saying, when you say, all these opaque bodies are now illumined, all of us can see all of us, because every opaque body shines here, all the opaque things are shining, even the colors of the flowers shine, the color of the leaves shine, everything shines here because everything is illumined. Because there is illumination, isn't it? Because there is illumination, as there is illumination, everything is illumined here. And the illumination implies two factors. You will say, how is it possible for us to have illumination? The whole room is illumined, well illumined. There is illumination of this room. What is that which illumines the room? We'll all say immediately what? The bulb burns. Bulb is burning. Therefore, there is illumination. We use singular word. The bulb is burning. Therefore, there is illumination. Therefore, all the opaque things shine. In fact, even though we use the expression, bulb is burning. Therefore, there is illumination. The illumination implies two factors. Bulb is burning, singular verb, but still two factors are involved. One is invisible electricity and the bulb. Isn't it? Imagine two together contribute for illumination implies electricity plus unfused bulb. Isn't it? If there is no electricity, even though the very good blade, new bulb with the very good filament is there, there won't be light. There won't be illumination. Even the electricity is there, bulb is not there, still illumination is not possible. There must be, there's electricity passing through this bulb, good bulb with good filament, then there is illumination. So illumination implies what? Two things. Light, the electricity plus bulb is equal to illumination. Similarly, cognition, knowledge, understanding of anything implies what? Two factors. One is called vrittihi. Antahkarana vrittihi is like the bulb. Consciousness is like the electricity. Don't say consciousness electricity, okay? Be careful. Without consciousness, mere vritti, antahkarana vritti, a thought modification. Actually, the thought, you have to understand a lot. Thought is a subtle manifestation. You can only understand what thought is. How, in what all forms thoughts obtain, you can understand. But you cannot describe, picturize, portray, draw, describe thoughts. In what all forms do thoughts obtain, you can understand. As anger, jealousy, hatred, desire, fear, restlessness. You can understand all thoughts only. You understand them very well, but you can't describe thoughts. So, thoughts themselves, no thought can become a cognition or knowledge by itself. A thought will be, minus thought minus consciousness will be, as good as the opaque bulb which itself will remain unillumined, which itself will remain unknown, which will be as good as non-existent. In a dark room where there is no electricity, the very good bulb, with the late new, brand new bulb with the brand new filament, which is capable of manifesting light, will remain as good as non-existent, the unknown, opaque, one of the opaque things obtaining in the existing in the dark room, isn't it? Similarly, even the electricity is there also. If there's no bulb, means still it cannot contribute for illumination. Electricity is there, there's no bulb, means still there can't be light. So electricity passing through that proper bulb alone becomes the light. Similarly, thoughts without consciousness also cannot contribute for cognition or knowledge. Cannot even exist, has status of being existent. So consciousness without the thoughts also what? Cannot become, contribute for cognition. So consciousness is what? Pure knowledge. The pure knowledge means what? Source of knowledge. But the thoughts serve as manifesting medium. Just as bulb serves as the manifesting medium, expressing medium for the electricity, similarly, the thoughts serve as manifesting medium for consciousness. So that's why we say knowledge is, cognition or knowledge is manifestation of consciousness. Our manifestation of pure knowledge is what? Cognition or knowledge. Knowledge, when you talk about, is a manifest knowledge. The pure knowledge is pure consciousness, which is source of knowledge, which is inaccessible. Not accessible. It is not interactable. It can't interact. Not available for interaction, not available for transaction. Not available for transaction. So without the electricity, there can't be the bulb cannot burn. Similarly, without the consciousness, there cannot be cognition or knowledge. If you ask me, source of knowledge is what? Consciousness. Just pure knowledge. In the presence of thought, there is manifest knowledge. In the absence of thought, pure knowledge. Understand? There's no impure knowledge. Okay, we use the word pure. I'll tell you here. When I say light, you know, is there something called pure light? No. Is there something called reflected light? No. There is just the light. But we give the two adjectives are attributed to the light. In the presence of opaque mic, the same light gets the name reflected light. Remove this opaque mic from here. Light is what?
Pure light.
Pure light. There is no such thing called impure light. Okay? There's just the light. Okay? But we say pure light, reflected light. In the presence of opaque, light gets the name reflected light. In the absence of opaque, light is what? Pure light. Really speaking, the pure and reflected are the attributes added to the light, which is free from attributes, okay? From the standpoint of the presence and absence of the opaque. Similarly, in the presence of thoughts, there is manifest consciousness. Manifestation of consciousness or manifestation of knowledge. In the absence of thoughts, there is pure knowledge. Is it clear? When you say experience, in every experience there must be some thoughts. Experience means like illumination. Whatever thought is there, you have that experience. Is it clear? Therefore, consciousness is what? We say, the only source of knowledge. The only source of knowledge. The only source of happiness. The only source of sukham. The only reality. Only source of existence is consciousness. Is it clear? Therefore, only thing is, the teaching, what it does is, no knowledge is created. All sorts of knowledge, you know, the fountainhead of knowledge is what? Already jnana utru, isn't it? There is this, all knowledge is already there. The vritti has to rise. Then there is manifestation of knowledge. That is why any scientist working in any field, all the time working, all the time working in the field of physics, not thinking of anything else, for him that particular vritti rises. Then there's a discovery in the field of physics, in the field of medicine, in the field of any discovery is what? Discovery of the knowledge, all what is already there is knowledge. Only it has to manifest. The source of knowledge is consciousness. The vritti has to rise. Then there is knowledge. Is it clear? The communication is only for the given vritti to rise. Is it clear? Therefore, who is the guru? That there is no source of knowledge other than consciousness means. Who is the guru already? Okay, so that's why we say, you know, Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwaraha. Because there is no Guru other than Paramatma. But, you know, seeing this, people like, some people, they get confused also. You are a Guru to yourself, they say. And another confusion. They say, don't need a teacher, you are Guru to yourself. There's another confusion also is there. Having some understanding here and there. But to know that there is no Guru other than Paramatma, you need a traditional teaching. You need Sampradaya. You need Shastra Pramanyam. You need Shastra. To understand this fact. Is it clear? To understand the fact that there is no, that Sarupa of any teacher is, you know, Paramatma. To understand this fact, you need what? To know that there is no Guru other than yourself, you need Guru. You need Shastra Pramanam. Understand? This is the word. So, what I want to say here is, no knowledge is created. It is already there. And the one who ultimately gives his vision is Sadguru. So here, the word Upanishad has two meanings. One is, I'll stop here till tomorrow, okay? The two meanings are there. So now I come to the point, tomorrow I'll start the Upanishad. Okay? The word Upanishad has two meanings. I'll tell you tomorrow what those meanings are.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.
They say Ishavasam is to be taught even after all the Upanishads. Even though it comes in the order, it comes in, all Pratikad comes first. It should not be taught first, they say. Because a lot of quite in-depth teaching it has. So we'll continue. From tomorrow we'll get it enter into the Upanishad. Knowledge does not come and go. Knowledge is always there.
Yes.
Okay? The pure knowledge is inaccessible. The manifest is.
Yes.
Okay? That's why you need manifesting vritti. For the vritti to rise, you need to work. Work means what? You need to be, you know, given that feeling, isn't it? What you think, what you all the time, you are there. See, nothing is impossible. You can achieve anything. You must be focused on that one thing. You get it. It can be physics, it can be, you know, any field for that matter. So also paravidya or aparavidya. And also reality, you have to, the Shastram is the pramanam, you be with that, it will help you.